Hi, Dedicators, and a huge welcome to the Dedicate podcast. I'm your host, Kate Ivey. Thank you so much for your messages of support and positive feedback about our podcast that I've been receiving lately. The Dedicate podcast is based around the notion that challenges create champions. We delve into our guests' rock bottoms and learn how they pulled themselves out to achieve great things. We also discuss things like motherhood, business, mental health, and mindset. Today, I chat to founder of fashion brand Jessica Flora, Jess Beecham. She chats to us about how she built her business and the challenges and learnings along the way. It's a great episode that I'm sure you'll enjoy. Hi, Jess.
Hello.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah.
What's happening today? You're off up north.
I'm heading to Auckland for the weekend. I've got a marketing thing on Tuesday up there, so cool. I thought I'd spend the weekend catching up with some friends up there. So it's been, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I bet. And what's the marketing thing?
It's a marketing company that I'm a part of that I do like a monthly thing with. Yeah. And I've just got an intensive training day with all the brands that are a part of it. So it'll be really cool to reignite some plans for the year.
Yeah, and it's really nice to, when we work remotely, rurally, to get in and meet other people and get some inspiration and just be around others. And
100%. I feel like I definitely lose track of things when I'm in Kura sometimes. But it'll be good to spark a bit of energy back into it.
Yeah, nice. Yes, so very excited to talk to you about your business today. I thought we'd just start with if you could just let us know a bit about yourself. So like where you grew up. Yeah. Start with who you are and where you grew up.
So I'm Jess from the brand Jessica Flora. I grew up in Hawke's Bay on a farm inland from Hastings in a town called Murakakaho. Loved it. It was a sheep and beef farm, and it's definitely been like one of, I just love having that, like being able to say I grew up on a farm is just such a special way to grow up. I think anyone rurally will agree with that. From Hawke's Bay originally, and then found my way south in Christchurch. Now, obviously there's a lot happened between then and now. But
so why did you go to Christchurch, sorry?
Oh, so after uni, my first job was in Christchurch, so that's sort of how I ended up down south originally.
And where did you go to uni?
I went to uni in Wellington.
Oh, cool. And did you do fashion?
Yeah, so studied fashion design there. And Wellington was such a cool city to be at for uni. It's such a such a quirky, artistic, small city. So it was really neat. And then, ended up back in Christchurch after uni. So that's sort of how I fell in love with the South Island. Never thought I'd end up here permanently.
And is that how you met your partner?
No, it wasn't till I sort of left for the UK and then worked in Auckland for a bit and then ended up back in Christchurch, and that's when I met Matt when I was in Christchurch for the second time. Yeah.
Awesome. So what was your first job? Was it in fashion?
Yes, if you don't include all the uni jobs that most rural kids get into, like the shearing gangs
and
working on a vineyard and whatnot. So my first job out of uni, I was working for a menswear brand in Christchurch, designing and doing the garment tech work there. So it was a really cool out of uni, like first graduate sort of role.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good way to get my foot in the door.
Because some people do do fashion but don't at uni but don't end up getting into a career with it.
Yeah, I think.
Is that quite common or?
I was trying to think percentage wise it probably would only. Yeah, definitely. Definitely a lot of people. And I think a lot of people do it artistically and then struggle to find the work because there's not a huge amount of jobs available in New Zealand. You definitely have to go abroad if you want to really expand your career in there, I reckon. But there weren't many jobs available when I first left uni, so I guess that's why South Island, it was kind of where the jobs led me, so that's why I ended up in south. But I don't think there wasn't a huge, there wasn't everyone from uni didn't end up going and working in the industry.
I think that's a quite common in the arts in general, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I feel like it's different because you've got it's such a creative degree. I feel like there are also so many like possibilities with it. It's just because you've studied fashion design doesn't necessarily mean you've pinpointed yourself to that. It's just opened up your mind to more of like a creative role, and so you can move into quite a few different like sectors, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm. Awesome. And so after your mensweet job in Christchurch, what did you do?
So once I think I did 3 years there, and then yeah, moved to the UK and did the whole London, 2 years in London, which I absolutely loved.
Whereabouts did you live?
I was in Clapham Common, which probably every other Kiwi was.
Yeah.
But I did actually live with two Irish guys and an English girl, and that was such a game changer, I think, because I made some really good friends with them, and actually their families would come and stay.
Oh, cool.
And I used to go and stay with the Irish families in Ireland, or Northern Ireland, like they were.
Yeah.
And like the flatmates didn't come back, I would just go over by myself and stay with the family. Yeah. So it was such a cool way to, yeah, I'm so glad I lived with non-Kiwis. I actually started working in a fabric store over there. It was quite a well-known fabric store called Cloth House, and that was just off Oxford Street.
Oh, amazing. Was it hard to get that role?
They had a job sign on the door, and I passed it day. And one of the owners, she was actually a Kiwi originally.
Love it. It's like fate, meant to be.
Yeah, lots of jobs that tend to work like that. Some connection to a Kiwi.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. It was such a beautiful shop. They stocked a lot of incredible fabrics. And I never really imagined myself going into that sort of sector, but it was a really good way to meet everyone and learn, yeah.
So what was the crux of that job? What did you do day to day?
Well, technically it was just a retail
for just cloth fabric, like not actually garments, just for the cloth.
All the fabrics that people would buy to make garments.
Yeah.
And all the components, like all these amazing buttons and beads, and
yeah,
it was just a really beautiful space, and I think it was a really inspiring space. Nice. So I spent a year, maybe less than a year, working there, and then I actually ended up working for a Kiwi company that was in London doing sports merchandise, and so they get the license for sporting events, and I'd help develop the products for the sporting events. So we did in the UK, we did the Cricket World Cup, Lions Tour to New Zealand, and a few others.
Awesome.
And then they got the America's Cup license, and so that meant, because it was in New Zealand, they would move back. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, came back and continued working for them in Auckland for a bit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love learning about the different roles that people do, because it all, like what you do now, really, you know, it all becomes a combination of what you've done.
Yeah, I feel in my every fashion job that I've had is so different, and it's like I feel like I've tackled every corner of the industry, which has been kind of nice before I have gone and developed my own thing, because I've learned every aspect of it and now know sort of what I do and don't like.
Yeah, cool. And so after Auckland, you moved back to Christchurch?
Yeah, so I moved back to Christchurch and I started working from home for Rhind and White Chalk, that umbrella.
Yeah.
And so I was designing and developing and all sorts with them, which was cool.
Fabulous.
And
how long did you do that for?
Oh, I'm so bad with timelines. Maybe just under 3 years, I think.
Oh,
it was.
Wow. Yeah, so it was a good chunk of time.
I'll have to check my timeline. I might have to. Yeah. Yeah, and then in that time, that's when I met Matt. So Kura came on my radar. I never knew where Kura was before I met Matt. And I never thought I'd end up further south than Christchurch, but here we are. when that ended,
So when Rhind ended, did your job finish?
It was actually a bit before that, but...
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what to do. And I feel like it was just a hard time to find a job because, again, there's not many jobs in New Zealand in the industry. And so I was really struggling on where I'd go next. And Matt really pushed me, I think, he probably regrets doing it now, but really pushed me to do my own thing. And so that's how it all sort of started.
Awesome. And so when you started your own business, had you already moved to Koora?
No, I spent another 2 years nearly living in Christchurch.
Okay.
I just wasn't really ready to make the full commitment to Koora yet.
Yeah.
And I definitely spent a lot more time in Koora than Mac did in Christchurch, but that's water under the bridge now.
How many years have you been in business?
It'll be 3 years.
Oh, so you've only been in Koora for like a year.
Yeah, that is, okay, maybe I must
yeah,
have
your
spent,
mess is not adding up
yeah.
here.
It must have been a year and a half that I continued to live in Christchurch, and then, yeah, I've been here for like a year and a half.
Okay. It feels like longer for some reason. It feels like you've always been there, but it's just,
I spent a lot of time in Koora when I was still living in Christchurch, so it was kind of like half and half.
Yeah. I see. And you probably did a lot of photo shoots from Koora and stuff.
Yeah. So it made it look like I was living there.
yeah. Awesome. So you said in our conversations before the podcast that you grew up on a farm and you knew you always wanted to work in fashion. And, you know, it's not, they don't generally go hand in hand, do they? So, yeah, well, how did you know that you always wanted to be in fashion?
Yeah, well, it still blows my mind that that's the only career option I ever gave myself. I think, so mum's very creative and very talented. I probably haven't told that enough, and she's probably going to listen. So, mum, you're very talented.
Nice.
And so she taught us to sew like lavender bags is what I remember her teaching us, and we put them in our undie drawers and whatnot. And I think just from that, I was always super arty as a young kid. I just always remember painting and doing anything creative, building things with paper or I don't know, anything. I was just always creative. And then once I learned to sew, I just got hooked on the sewing machine, and that was it. Everything was just like sewing from then on out. And this is in like halfway through primary school.
Wow, yeah.
Discovered that. Yeah. And so I just knew, I don't know, I never gave myself another option.
Yeah.
And so I think it was probably in high school when careers started becoming an option and knowing like where it could take you, that I was aware at that point that obviously fashion design isn't going to lead me to a rural lifestyle. And so it was always in the back of my mind that I'd have to give one or the other up. And I guess like the internet now has been like a game changer and changing that for us, because obviously we're able to live in such a beautiful spot down here and fulfill a clothing line, which is amazing. So yeah, it's been amazing to know that I've been able to achieve that, and I probably haven't reflected on it properly, so it's like nice to like realize that now and go, wow, I've actually been able to live the life of two things that I feel like I'd have to give one or the other up.
Yeah, that's so cool. What's so great about it now is, you know, rural women in business is we can use where we live to tell the story. And I always say to people, as rural women, we want things from rural women. We want, because rural women understand and they know that we still want what everyone in the city gets, but we want to live rurally. So it's really cool what you've done. And so talk us through, for those that don't know, the process of getting started, or I was going to say the process of actually making your garments, but let's go with getting started with the business, and you include how you make them and stuff in there. Step one, you go, right, I'm going to start up my own business. What do you do?
Yeah, no, I remember when I registered the business, I thought, right, shit, it's really going to happen now.
Yeah.
And like that felt so crazy doing that, but it was a good wee achievement.
So would you recommend that to someone who's maybe a bit nervous about getting started, just register the business and just do the little things, get started?
It feels a bit more legit after that.
Yeah.
So I get the website sorted and I spent a couple of months designing and working out where I wanted the brand to start. I feel like it's where it started is like it's come a long way since then, but I think it's important of like knowing where your brand's going to be when you start out. And I spent quite a bit of time sampling designs and sourcing fabrics. I've found I've got some really amazing fabric suppliers in New Zealand that I work with. One of them's in Christchurch, and so it's quite handy whenever I'm up there, I'll pop in and have a chat. Two of them are in Christchurch. So yeah. It's quite handy having the South Island ones.
So you don't source from overseas?
I source my Indian print fabrics. I'm not sure if you can see the stack there. So the florally ones that I get are all hand block printed from India. And so I source them directly from India. And I love using them. But it's been a really cool connection that I've made with the supplier over there. And then the rest, because my quantities are so much smaller, to work directly with the fabric developers, you kind of have to have really high minimums for your fabric. So I'm just not at that level yet. So yeah. I work with the wholesalers in New Zealand, which generally is quite handy because it means the fabric's already in the country and I'm not having to wait half a year or whatever.
Yeah,
so before launching, I was just working really intensely with the fabric suppliers and then designing where I wanted the brand to go. And I sample and pattern make all the garments here, or the ladies that I help that help me sew also do it as well. So it's very intensive. So we're pattern making and sampling and testing them out before they get made up.
So you create like a test run, and then once you've got it right, you send it through to someone in Christchurch to make a whole lot.
Yeah. So we've got sewers. So I've got Jodie and Omaru, and she does a lot of the made-to-order sewing. So we cut out, I'm actually on the pattern table right now, we cut out here and then I'll drive into town maybe once or twice a week and get stuff, pick stuff up from her or drop it off.
Wow.
And go over what's coming. And then I've got Renee in Christchurch, and she is just an absolute wizard. She's been with me from the start. And
yeah.
I think David, one of my fabric suppliers, put me onto her. And she actually lived like 5 minutes down the road from me when I was in Christchurch.
Oh, classic.
So it was really handy. And so we developed a lot of stuff with her from the very start. And she's amazing with pattern making and changes and, yeah, I can send anything her way and it just seems to be achievable. So it's been amazing having her on board. So, yeah, she does a lot of the cutting out and sewing and whatnot there. And then I've just started working with some ladies in Blenheim who I worked with my previous job, and they no longer had work. So I knew that there was some work free, space free with them. And so I get more of the quantity-based runs. So when I'm doing more like a full size run or more, I push them through her up in Blenheim.
Awesome. And is that a reflection of the growth of the business that you've now got four sewers?
Yeah, 100%. So when I first started doing the quantity stuff up at like what I'm doing up in Blenheim, I wouldn't have been doing. So it's definitely helped bringing that on board so that I can get some more stock in the store and online. And it's gone to the point where not everything is made to order. I do have stuff ready to send out. And that's sort of where I do want to push, is have a lot more made up as I put it online. Still keeping the element of made to order, because I think that's quite important and people do appreciate the changes that are able to be made.
But
it's been really cool to have a factory that can push a few more items out and send a bigger number our way.
Awesome. Yeah, I spoke to you at the end of last year and you're sort of in a bit of a crossroads with things. It feels like you've had you're diving in really deep now. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I feel like last year was just such a funny year for so many people. Just the economy obviously is in such a funny spot. And speaking to any business last year I just had to remind myself that we're all in the same position and we've just got to really push through. And Matt constantly says this. He always goes, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah.
So you just got to remember that you're doing this because you are able to do it, and you've just got to push through some days. And we were definitely in a spot last year where it was touch and go. And I just had to remind myself that I wasn't alone in the business with that. So yeah, it's been cool to start the year fresh and feel that things are actually moving forward a bit better now.
And do you feel like you've learned a lot from that experience?
Yeah, I think perseverance and like not I think a bad day can really set me back, whereas now I'm like, that's just part of it.
Yeah,
There's 100%. Always ebbs and flows in business. Obviously last year it's like bad months and then a good month, and a bad month can really set you back. But I had to remind myself the business is so young, that's going to happen. There's like, yeah, any business always is going in, you know, troughs and whatnot. So yeah, just learn to manage that.
Awesome. Something that's helped me is the quote, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
Yeah, I know, because you always hear of, I'm really bad at looking at businesses and comparing their progress to mine. And then I look into it and realize, oh, it's actually been going for 10 years.
Yeah.
But they're at the point that I want to be at right now, but that business has been going for 10 years.
Yeah.
And so I do have to constantly remind myself, whenever I see something that's gone like that, they've generally been in the business for a very long time.
And how did the Wanaka show go?
Oh, it was so good. It's such a good way to get the brand out there. And I don't know how, but they managed to have good weather every year.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. And you won the best stall or best stop?
Yeah. I went quite hard out. I just find it's a really good way to market the brand and get customers in. So I hire lots of furniture and have a bit of a nice lounge space. And I teamed up with Havana Coffee this year and had a coffee cart in the store. And so that helped draw a few people in, which was nice.
Good idea.
Last year the lines were hours long for a coffee. So I thought I could tap into that.
Clever.
So it's just a really nice way to meet customers face to face, and they can sit down and relax and not feel like they're in a rush to move out because it can get so busy at those sort of events.
Did you sell lots of things as well?
Yeah, it went really well.
Cool.
It's a really good, really good push that just helps the March month.
Yeah, and it gives you a lift for the next few months. Is winter harder than summer or no different?
Yeah,
or?
Obviously a lot more people are looking to buy clothing this summertime, but yeah, I just need to make sure I've got enough things lined up for each month to keep us ticking along. Yeah, but winter's definitely generally a quieter sort of time for us.
And I've seen your beautiful pieces in Hyde Boutique in Oamaru. Do you have them anywhere else? Obviously online on your website. Do you have them in any other shops?
Yeah, so wholesale-wise, I've just got in Hyde and Lynwood. So Becky at Hyde's bought Lynwood's in Christchurch as well, which is amazing. She's doing such a good job.
Oh, what? So Becky's from Hyde. She's got a shop in Ashburton and she's brought Lynwood's in Christchurch.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's all go.
Yeah. So I've got,
Lynwood's, is it in Merivale Mall?
It's on the other side of the road, but yeah, in Merivale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful shop. I love it. So I've got my stuff. I haven't got a huge amount of stock there at the moment, but because wholesale isn't really an area that I've tackled, and that is an area that I do want to tackle eventually this year. So I haven't really been pushing it that much, but it's been a really nice way to just experiment and see where I need to improve on before I do tackle it properly.
Awesome.
Online and then in the shop here.
Yeah, awesome. Yes, I drove past your shop on Wednesday and thought, oh, it looks so nice here. It's so nice to look around.
All the flowers.
Yeah, stunning. So what would you say your biggest challenges in the business has been?
Well, going back to the financial side of it, it's definitely startup business, I think financials has definitely been the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. It's obviously when you haven't got a huge investment, and I'm someone who dreams big and wants to do massive things of the brand, so environmentally focused, and I want to have all these amazing systems in place that help the brand become even more environmentally focused. These can cost, you know, the injections of doing that can cost quite a bit of money. So I've just have to remind myself that we can get there eventually, but it'll just be like a really steady and slow growth and just doing what we can.
Just do something small each year to add to what you're already doing, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have a worm farm, don't you?
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Everyone should get a worm farm. Worms are my best friends. all of fibers that we use for our fabrics are natural, so they're compostable, and that means so they can break down, and I help break them down with worms. And so I develop a system where I have a big bath of worms where I keep all my food scraps, and that sort of helps breed them up a little bit. And then I'll spend a day putting all the fabric scraps, some horse manure, coffee grinds, and all the worms from the bath up into a pile, and then I just let it sit, and it probably takes about 3 months, half a year to sort of break down, and it turns into soil, and then we can use it in the garden.
That's so cool. I'm sure you do share it on your socials, but I haven't seen it on your socials for a while. I feel like you need to remind people of that more regularly.
Yeah, I remind myself a lot that I need to share that side. I feel like people get sick of it, and then I'm like, I actually haven't shared that in 4 months.
Mm.
So a lot of people don't know about it. But yeah, it's such an important part, because at the end of the day, the fibres that the natural fibres that we wear have come from the ground. And so I feel it's like such a duty for us to give back in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And the soil that's created is such a nutrient dense soil. I feel like it's a good way to give back to the land and put some more positive, like a positive waste cycle. It's like a positive end result to what essentially would be a waste product.
Yeah. And it's such a differentiation, I don't know quite the right word, between your business and most other fashion businesses. You know, most fashion businesses are bad for the environment.
Definitely.
So, shout that one from the rooftops, I reckon.
Yeah, and I think I get scared to share it too much, because obviously the word, like, I don't try to use the word sustainability because it's been so misused.
Mm.
And there's obviously so many things that I need to do to improve still. But yeah, I don't need to be scared about sharing what I do.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, the industry is definitely it's an interesting one, because we obviously need to wear clothing, but there's definitely a lot of improvements needed in the industry to look after the earth. Yeah.
So what do you think needs to happen?
Well, I think the use of natural fibres is hugely important. And I think there's just Oh, golly, how do I have to be so careful with wording it.
Mm.
I just really struggle when I know it's such an obvious factor in the industry, and everyone just thinks, well, because every other brand is doing it, I'm not in the issue. And so I'm such a small fish in the, big pond of brands. But hopefully I can have a positive influence on showing that what's possible with fibres and changes. Yeah.
Mm.
I think we're definitely on the right, like there's definitely a lot of changes being made, but everything just takes a lot of time.
Yeah. And it's really hard because you have people saying, you have consumers saying, we need to do more for the environment. Farmers need to do more for the environment. This person needs to do more for the environment, and so on. And then they go to like Kmart or they shop at Shein, and I'm not saying I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's convenience, and it's really hard to be the one to, it's full credit to you being the one to stand up and say, I'm going to make these positive decisions,
and I always,
because financially it's harder on you.
There's a lot. Because obviously we make to order or still make in New Zealand, so that's a big cost. And then buying only natural fibres is probably twice as much as what I would if I wasn't buying those sorts of fabrics. So it definitely adds up. And I always try and put it in a positive spin. I never like to say, look at what these brands are doing, because at the end of the day, they're a business and they need to survive. And that's the rest of the industry. So it's not like they're doing it in negative. Like, that's what every other brand is doing. So I just like to think, I want to be a positive influence in whatever way possible.
Yeah.
I'm
no business coach, but I can't help but share. I feel like you definitely need to show us more of that stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
And like show the tests, like the cloth tests. You could show like what happens. Like you could put cloth somewhere and other types of ones and compare and see what happens after 3 months, or
yeah, because I had a fiber that wasn't 100% natural, which I didn't know, and it didn't break down properly and it all became quite stringy. And so there's one bit of soil that's got a lot of the plastic fibers, because it's broken down the natural fibers, it's what's left is all the, it had a bit of elastane in it, and so what's left is all the elastane fibers, and so it's all through the soil. So it shows that the natural fiber completely breaks down, and then the what essentially is plastic fiber just doesn't break down, it's still completely intact in the soil.
So interesting. And so for your photo shoots, how do you work those? How do you get your models and where do you do them? Are you the creative vision behind it all, because they look fabulous?
Yeah, we thankfully have so many amazing photographers around. We've got local ones, Dana and Chloe, and then I quite often work with Fran, who's in Queenstown.
Yeah. Oh, that's who Devar and co work with as well?
Yeah, and she's become a really good friend as well, so it's been amazing to have, she'll come and stay sometimes, which is cool. And then model wise I just always use either friends or people that I've met, which I find I really enjoy because it just feels a little bit more natural.
Do you give them something for taking part, like how does it
I will send out gift vouchers and a bit of money. And I always use, backdrop wise I tend to just draw on our amazing surroundings that we've been blessed with down here. There's always sort of some outdoor element to it.
Cool. And so I asked before the biggest challenges, what have been the biggest achievements with the business?
I'm so bad at looking at that.
Here's a good opportunity. Have a thank you.
Well, yeah, I feel like seeing how it is so cool, seeing how Wanaka show goes and going, wow, I can do that in a weekend. And so then we get back and I like, right, can we do that every week? Obviously,
yeah,
take a long time to do that, but it's amazing seeing that that's a possibility within 2 days. Obviously, there's a huge amount of work that goes in before it. Probably hence why I'm sick now. My body's just gone and crashed.
So what other shows are you going to this year?
I'll probably do the Christchurch show. So that's in November, I think.
Did you do that last year as well?
Yeah, that was my first time last year. Cool. So it was a good test to know what to do for this year. But I think I'm going to focus more on the wholesale side, so shows I probably won't do a huge, like as many as I normally do, but Christchurch and Wanaka seem to be good ones.
So just thinking about your whole life, so in our podcast I do like to draw out people's challenges just as we learn so much. So I want to ask you if you can share with us, if you can think now, what, when do you think your rock bottom so far in life was?
I feel, I was actually just talking to Matt about this the other day. And I feel this is going to be everyone because this is so normal. But the whole, well, I look back on my 20s and think, why did I not apply myself? I think what I've realised now is having a business and achieving what we've achieved, like I've finally worked out what I'm capable of doing and that I can actually put myself to something and do it. And look at it, so then I always reflect back and be like, well, imagine if I did it in my 20s and what I could have achieved.
Yeah.
And so I unfortunately hold a lot of regret around what I haven't achieved, but I'm now looking at that and thinking, isn't that what your 20s are for?
Yeah.
And let that be a time of knowing that I, you know, I had an amazing time still, and then not, brush off the regret and know that now I've actually achieved this and I can grow from that.
Exactly. And you're still, we're still so young.
You're still so young.
And I think, do you find, I don't, how old are you? Do you mind saying?
34.
I was 30s is such an interesting time. I mean, I'm 39, so I haven't done 40s yet. Obviously done previous. I just find your 30s is when you start realizing how short life is.
Yeah, also who you are.
And you get that confidence and a bit more, but there's a lot going on. Your mind is so different to what it was in your 20s.
Yeah. I think obviously your priorities change. I mean, I haven't had children yet, but that's obviously a conversation a bit more regular than what it was in your 20s.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I've definitely gained a lot more confidence around knowing what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
And so it's meant that I can push myself into areas that I probably wouldn't have pushed myself in my 20s. Yeah.
And it sounds like you got lots of fabulous experience in your 20s that have set you up for what you're doing now. So
exactly. Yeah.
I don't think you should be hard on yourself. It's easier said than done. You know, we have to be at peace in our own minds.
Yeah. And I think it's more like, and I have to look at it like, I got to travel and I got to do all these amazing things. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely just been
flip side. If you had worked crazy hard in those 20s, and I'm not saying you didn't, but you know, if you had lived up to these expectations that you're looking at now you might be going, oh, why did I not just enjoy the fact that I was in my 20s and travel
on
and
pleasure or something?
Exactly. I missed out on so many things. So we can't do everything, can we?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, yeah, I'm sure many will be able to relate to that.
Yeah, definitely. Learning to let go of the regret side of things, because at the end of the day, we've got many more years ahead of us.
Yeah.
And I can just focus on improving that.
Mm. Regret's an awful thing, isn't it? Like it's...
terrible.
I think it's part of that next stage of life. It's part of getting into your 30s, is that reflection back that you don't sort of do in your 20s.
Mm. And I think it's funny how, like, it shouldn't be a regret, because like I said, that is exactly what your 20s are for. Mm. It's like working out who you are, working out what your priorities are. And yeah, you're going to make so many mistakes and you're probably going to repeat them 5 times.
Yeah.
But that's what you work out and get out of the way. And then now I feel like, I do remember feeling like as soon as I turned 30, I was like, right now I can really make that change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was turning 30 like for you?
I loved it. I thought it was a really cool year.
Yeah, awesome.
Maybe because of that. Maybe because I knew, I was like, right, extra time.
Love it. Love it. Goals and plans for the future?
Well, I've already mentioned a few times, but I really want to tackle the wholesale market. I feel like that'd be a really good way to get the brand out there. I've had quite a few shops interested, so that's really
awesome.
Exciting when people reach out. But it's just a matter of getting my timelines a bit more earlier, because at the moment I'm sort of developing my ranges a lot closer to when they've been released, just because that's how it's sort of been done from the start. And so as soon as I go wholesale, I need to really...
You need to be a year ahead, don't you?
Yeah, a year or half a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to have to just bring that forward a bit more to be able to develop the wholesale side. That's probably the biggest goal this year.
So will that be more time on the road selling, or do you just do it online?
Well, yeah, to be honest, I don't really know where I'm going to go with it. But yes, I imagine maybe a few trips will be up the sleeve, which I don't mind.
Yeah.
Might mean to get to go to the city a few times.
Yeah, nice. Woohoo. Yeah, anything else that you think you'd want to share or that might be interesting for everybody listening about your life in general?
Yeah, I feel like we really brushed over that whole primary school to uni stage very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel so blessed that I grew up rurally and had that upbringing. I think it's such a pivotal way of how I live my life now. And I was lucky enough that mum and dad gave us some incredible like activities and I was going to say hobbies, but like, so we grew up playing the violins because mum's quite musical, and then we also grew up show jumping and hunting with horses. So every day we were practicing the violin in the morning, which kudos to mum for making three primary school kids practice their violin every single morning before school. I don't know how I'd do that. And then as soon as we got home from school, we'd go and exercise the ponies. And I just look back at that, and that's such a good way to like create habits and structure, because that's just what we did. And we never really, well, we probably did question it, but anyway, time to time. But that was always our daily routine.
Yeah.
And right from like primary school through the end of high school, that was our day to day. I did go to boarding school in high school, but.
And have your siblings gone on to do anything creative or musical or?
So I'm a twin sister.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, we're pretty polar opposites. She works in sales for a food supplier. Well, I probably got that really wrong, but sells ingredients for food companies.
Are you guys identical or?
No, we're fraternal. Yeah. So we look really different and we're just quite different personalities.
Yeah.
But she has really gotten into pottery lately and is amazing. And so it's really cool to see that creative side of her come out. And then my younger sister Pip she's creative. Yeah. But doesn't work. Neither of them have sort of gone into careers creatively. Pip does town planning.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Do people often think your name is Jessica Flora? Like, how often do people think your last name's Flora?
Oh, so Flora's my middle name.
Oh, it is your middle name, so at least it's...
Yeah, when you're saying, do people think it's your name? I'm like, it actually is. a lot of people think, yeah, Flora's my last name, but yeah. So, because it's on the window at the shop, a lot of people walk in thinking it's a florist shop.
Ah, and you've got flowers and stuff out there.
Because I've got so many flowers outside in the pots as well. That probably doesn't help. But yeah, so Jessica Flora's my middle name.
Cute. Nice.
That's how it's come about.
Awesome. So yeah, anything else? Anything else I can squeeze out of you?
No pressure.
Oh, what are the next things with, you're talking about the sustainability and environmental stuff. So you do the worm farm. Is there anything else you do? And what are the next steps? You talk about there being... You know, you mentioned there'd be more things. What are the next?
Yeah, so I really want to tackle the composting system in a more intensive way. So at the moment, it's just me doing it in the paddock, creating a pile, you know, next to the house. And so I really want to be able to get a proper setup going there. It might be a matter of collaborating with other businesses, or I know that there is a potential of improving the way that the fabric's broken down. So I'm just using quite big pieces that have been cut out. But I think you can get fabric shredders. And so having that already broken down a lot more would help quicken the process.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely want to expand on that concept and make it a bit more not so hands-on. Mm-hmm. And work with developing it with someone else that we can team up, and yeah, I think because that would be a really good way to showcase how it can grow and make it more achievable for other brands to do.
Mm. Nice. So other brands in Korea sort of thing?
Other fashion brands can do.
Like I see. So setting the template for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I created a template that was achievable for other brands, then that could be a good way to showcase what potential is
That's really cool.
For composting,
awesome, love it. All right, I've got 10 questions for you for this or that.
Amazing.
Okay, weights or HIIT?
Oh, I'm gonna say HIIT because that's what I always end up doing, but I love a weight session as well, so that's really hard.
I love it. Everyone does this. I was interviewing Gemma Douglas yesterday as well, and she's like, exactly like you, she would say the answer and then you say why you like the other as well. It's like, no, you're supposed to only choose one. So hard. Pilates or yoga?
Again, so hard. But I do yoga a lot because I just love having that time in the morning. But I also love how good Pilates are. But I'm going to say yoga just purely because I do it a lot.
Burpees or jumping lunges?
Oh, I'm going to say burpees.
Most people say burpees. It's quite a good one to, because a lot of people complain about burpees. So it's quite cool if you can say, well, it's better than jumping lunges. And people go, all right, I'll do the burpees. Would you rather wear a skirt or a dress?
I'm going to say a dress.
And which do you do more of? Do you sell more of?
Ooh, probably dresses. Yeah. Probably 50-50, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were some really cute, were they shorts or skirts in a sort of a natural colour in Hyde the other day they really liked?
Shorts, maybe? Oh, a mini skirt.
Mini skirt, yeah.
An ivory, is it?
Yeah.
Like an ivory drill. I
What
think that
color's
might add.
ivory again?
Like a cream.
Yeah. That's him. shirt or t-shirt?
Oh, these are so funny how hard they are. Because you'd like end up doing both, don't you?
Yeah.
Probably shirt, because I do find myself wearing them a lot.
And have you done, has Jessica Flora got any matching sets? I've been all about the matching sets this
I've got one
summer.
on today.
Oh, let's have a look. Oh, good.
It's really hard
Love.
to do on Zoom.
Have you
But
got some
yeah.
of those in Hyde as well?
But I did, but this was
Summer
this
more.
one in particular was at the start of summer.
I
And
see.
then I've got a new, well, not a new, I've got a linen check version of this available at the moment
Cool.
that
So
I
matching
just.
sets, girls, get on to Jessica Flora. What,
Yeah.
while we're here, what new things have you got on the site that
Well,
people might be interested?
we've just had a photo shoot, so the release might be online by the time this comes out,
Yeah.
of a really fun little range that I'm really proud of. It takes me a lot to be proud of a range, and I think I'm just constantly in my head, I know where I can improve. I know this is meant to be a quick fire, sorry, I've
No,
gone
it's all good. It's all good.
really deep into this.
That's good.
I'm really bad at knowing, at thinking how I can improve something once it's already been released. And so this range that I've just had a photo shoot for, I feel quite proud of. So it's nice to know that I am excited to be getting out there.
And
And it's
is
a lot of.
that just because you're really proud of the range and you've tweaked things, or is it have you been doing some work on your mind and being
Yeah,
able
and
to
I
let
think
yourself be happy?
I'm also feeling my groove a bit more with the brand. Like I think
Nice.
I'm finally feeling my feet and knowing the direction that I'm comfortable going in.
Isn't that a great learning? Like 6 months
Yeah.
ago, you weren't sure if you're going to continue,
I
and
know.
now you're in the best spot.
Yeah,
And
it's
that's what
nice to know.
happens.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
nice to know where. I think it took me a while to find my design groove, which seems weird. But when you're feeling like you have to constantly push stuff out, I think I just rushed, maybe not didn't rush it, but got stuff out and then realized actually I've just been taking influence from too many other trends or whatever and wasn't necessarily finding what was true for me.
Yeah.
And now I am not getting too swayed by what's out there. And I think maybe that's probably a confidence thing of like I've got the brand out there now, so it's a matter of I don't have to prove myself. It's like
Yeah.
I'm actually just doing what makes me feel good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many like life cycles of a business and such a journey, isn't it? Like,
Yeah. And
yeah.
actually, we can probably dive into that more.
Yeah, cool.
Get right on it, go deep.
Yeah.
It's funny how, I mean, you'd probably find this as well, but everyone seems to know how to run their business better than you do. And it took me a long time. Oh, don't get me wrong as well. Like taking advice is so important, and I think there's definitely a lot of valuable knowledge out there that you definitely need to learn. But you've got to know. Like it also takes a while to know what feels right for your brand, and also what feels right for you. So yes, take advice, but don't get caught up with everyone saying you should do this, you should do that. Why haven't you got that design? Or I love wearing this. You should do stuff like that. And that's them just trying to be helpful. And yeah, it's funny how it took me a long time to not get upset when everyone would try and say, oh, you should do this.
Yeah, it's realizing like so you took it as a like you took offense and maybe weren't confident and
Yeah.
thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to do that? And now you go,
Yeah.
oh, thank you. And you just
Yeah.
think, okay, that's interesting feedback. Does
Yeah,
that
it
apply to me?
definitely
Does it
takes stuff
not?
on. Yeah,
Yeah. And knowing that it's not
definitely.
about you, it's more about them, like you say, trying to be helpful or maybe thinking, oh, I'd love some more of this. I'll see if Jess can make me one, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just at the end of the day, it's like them just trying to be helpful. And I definitely learn so much, especially having the shop now, because we've got the change room and whatnot. Learning what people like to wear, what suits them, like that is such a game changer. Like I wish I worked in a clothing shop when I went to uni, because you would learn so much from just being the retailer, seeing customers wearing different styles every single day and knowing the body shapes. And I learned so much from hearing customers say, oh, this doesn't fit right or that doesn't. So then I know what suits everyone and how I can grade it all, you know.
Yeah, are there some styles that, you know, really just only a small amount of body shape suit, and then are there others that everyone suits?
Yeah, and that's like
quite a mix. Yeah.
And I sometimes get caught up thinking that I have to make every single garment for every single body type, every single body type. But that's always going to happen. Like, there are going to be styles that suit certain people and other styles that suit other people. But trying to fit that within the range and create a diverse amount that can fit within my whole market of people that I work with, my customer base.
Awesome. I always think about people working in shops. Like, is it hard if someone puts something on and maybe you think it doesn't look quite right on them and they're sort of like, what do you think? Mm. Like, how do you word it? Do you say...
I'm always quite honest because I would way prefer someone to walk out that door empty-handed than put an item in that bag and they're never going to wear it.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't give that Jessica Flora tag doesn't give them a good feeling. But if I feel like they're not feeling it, I will try and work out what it is that they're after and if I've got it. I'm more than happy for someone to walk out that door not purchasing if it's not right for them. I don't like, because again, we don't need all that stuff in our wardrobe.
Yeah.
Like, I would way prefer that someone focuses on buying the perfect item that's going to sit in their wardrobe, well, not sit, sorry, be in their wardrobe that they can wear with so many other different things, than, buy it off the whim just because they feel like they might wear it.
Yeah, it's so important.
For retailers, like, it is so important to be honest like that.
It makes you come back, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, 100%.
If you have a negative experience, then you won't go back.
Yeah,
I've definitely been put off some brands because I have bought too many things from them and they haven't been right.
Yeah, and then you just find it sits in the wardrobe. And I'd prefer that someone has an item and they only buy one and it's worn and worn and worn and worn.
Yeah.
And that gives a way better feeling for them.
Love. All right, this is a big one. North Island or South Island?
Oh, don't do that to me. Oh, the North Island is such a special spot. I'll say the North Island because that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
But there's something about the South that really gets into your bones, I reckon.
The cold? No, just joking. That cold Kurel wind, maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Tell you what, that wind... So special.
Would you rather be really early for something or a bit late?
Definitely early. I'm not always great at that, but I definitely love being early.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? What's it? Is that still on the goals list, is it?
Yeah.
Do you have a physical diary or online?
Both. And I probably need to merge it into one because it gets very confusing.
Yeah.
use notes on my phone and my laptop. I use that a lot.
Are you like me, the stuff that goes in the notes and you don't actually end up using it, but it's there in the notes somewhere buried?
Yeah, but then I always am like searching, like, I'm sure I wrote that down 3 years ago. Like,
yeah. Pedicure or manicure?
Manicure, because I don't know, we're on the farm, we never hardly get the feet out, do we?
And would you rather go back in time or see into the future?
Oh god, we've just had this chat about
the 20s.
See into the future, and then, because hindsight's such a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine if we knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Almost, but that could almost be daunting, couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, neither is that tempting, but
I know. It's funny how you always say, oh, I wish you could go back in time, and then as soon as you're probably given that possibility, like,
you're kind of like, I don't really want to relive that thing again. Cool, well, that's all, I think, unless I won't say unless you've got something else, because I've said that about three times, and it was really cool to yeah, delve into some more stuff even during those 10 questions.
I feel like I haven't really spoken about like Matt and being in Kurau or anything. I don't know if you've really
Yeah, so yeah, no, totally. What was it like moving to Kurau?
Well, thankfully, like I said, I'd spent a bit of time in Christchurch before I moved down, but I'd made quite a good friend group before I fully moved down, and so I actually found it really easy. Like the transition wasn't like, oh, who am I going to make friends with?
Yeah,
I'd already sort of developed that.
And it's such a great community, isn't it?
So good. Yeah, so lucky, because not every rural community is like that. Like, it can be quite isolating.
Yeah, and but it's such a rural community. Like, Twizel is a great community, but it's, you wouldn't call it a rural community.
You're right. A lot of more people were based in the town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we've got, my friend Kelsey's got the gym as well, so there's a really cool group that go there, which is nice. Kura's a great spot. And then, obviously, with having the shop, it's been really cool, because I'm not based at home in a studio, and so I have people popping in, and that's really helpful, I find.
You said earlier that Matt's, you know, you said it tongue-in-cheek, but about Matt saying that you should go out on your own, and you said, oh, he's probably regrets it now.
I don't know.
What are the challenges there?
It's such an interesting ride. You've probably had to navigate that as well. Like, we definitely do a lot of talking at dinner time about what's working and what's not.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of, he's such a good support when it comes to me questioning stuff. He's definitely had to be the backbone for a lot of things, which I'm very thankful for. Going into business with that sort of partner relationship is such a learning curve, isn't it? You just never know how it's going to go. But yeah, thankfully he's just been a really good support, and we're able to try and navigate that over dinners and
And how far is the farm from Kurau, where your store is?
Oh, it's 8 minutes out of town, so very close.
Oh, sweet. Easy.
Yeah, we're very close.
Yeah. And is Matt around the same age as you as well?
Yeah, he's a little bit younger. So he's 31.
31, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it his family farm?
Yeah, so the parents bought it when he was a bit younger. His dad's a beekeeper, so they've got bee sheds down the road. And then his mum's got a cafe here, which is amazing.
Across the road. Is that the Two Rivers one? Not
the
Two Rivers. The Braids. Yeah, Two Rivers is in Cheviot. Sorry, where I'm from.
Oh.
I knew it was something to do with Rivers. Yeah.
She's done an incredible job with how it looks. And yeah, it's a great asset to the town. Awesome. And because we've got the Alps Dotion cycle trail that runs through Kurau.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so do you.
Yeah.
So they'll stay in your town one night and they'll come down to us.
Yeah.
And it's such a game changer for the town. And so a lot of them stay at the Braids.
Cute accommodation there, and I love the outside bit for when you go there for lunch. The outside bit, especially when you've got kids, and they've got little games and stuff.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. She's done an incredible job there.
Awesome. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time, Jess.
Have
a fabulous time in Auckland.
I know. I'm so looking forward to catching up with my friends, and because I've all got young kids and babies, so it'll be a nice heart. Filling trip, I think.
Nice. Are you going out at all or staying in?
I haven't actually planned anything. I'm just looking forward to doing my morning walks to the beach. I'm staying with my friend in St Heliers, which is kind of where I used to live.
Yeah.
And so I'll do my morning routine that I used to do down to the beach and grab my coffee.
Nice.
Go for a wee stroll.
Yeah. Enjoy city life.
Yeah. I actually really like getting out and getting into the, you know, bustle, a hustle and bustle, bring back that memory for a few days.
Did you ever want to live in New York and work in New York? That seems to be a destination for people in fashion.
Yeah. Do you know, I've never been to New York.
That's okay.
Is that a sin for a fashion design? I'd love to visit it, and then I might want to move there when I go there. I'd definitely move to Milan, because Italy's like my soul sister, and that place is just such a special spot. No, but I think now that I've managed to navigate the rural and fashion, been so cool to, and now I'm quite happy to and content to be living rurally.
Yeah, you've got those two things. You should be so proud. Fabulous. And just sort of another question, how have you found the whole navigating social media, having an online presence?
Yeah, it's such a full-time job, isn't it?
Mm.
You probably found that as well. It's cool, and it's obviously the biggest asset to any business. That's pretty much why I can live where I am, right?
Mm.
But it definitely takes its toll when you realise you have to do that almost every day. Mm. Like, I get into a rhythm of it and I love it. And then there'll be a week where I'm just feeling a bit flat or not feeling like I have anything to post. And so I go through maybe stages where I just take it a bit slower.
Mm.
But I just need to remind myself that it is such a valuable tool.
Mm.
That's pretty much the game changer to any business. So I definitely see the value in showing face and sharing my composting stories that I will now start to do.
I do some fashion stuff because it's
I love it, by the way.
So, oh, thanks. We did a course in the weekend when I was at the Huddle, and they said 50% of your content, this is your like on your grid, should be top of funnel. So that's basically just, do you probably know this already? But yeah. I'm able to say for other people, 50% top of funnel. So that's just really broad stuff to capture attention that's going to perform really well. And you're likely not to have a call to action on that. So you're not going to write, it might be different for clothing, I don't know.
It's more gaining an audience.
And then your middle funnel stuff, which is sort of getting people that are interested and it's not a direct sell, that should be 30%, and then your direct sell only needs to be 20%.
Yeah.
And that having a really strong organic model like that is like so helpful for your paid ads. You've like done the legwork for your paid ads. So that was really cool to hear that. And I sort of went through, like I screenshotted my last, must have been 12 or 16.
Posts.
Yeah. And went through and I had so many middle funnel. So I definitely need to.
That's a good way to actually, seeing what you need to add in. I might do that too.
Yeah. And I just did it on Insta story and put a TM or B and went through, and I might do that every few weeks just to see where
that's
I'm at.
A good idea.
And I'm also, when I'm planning my socials, I'm writing whether it's top, middle, bottom. I mean I'm saying this, I've only been doing it for 2 days, it was just in the weekend,
but it's such a good idea. And it's almost like you could add it to your calendar, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like on my calendar,
that's what I do.
Top, middle, and so then you know what you can just add something in.
So that's quite cool,
because people love seeing that. They don't need to see you selling something every single day, and like trying to sell something every single day.
No.
Like, people actually just love to see you taking the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
Or, seeing this beautiful surrounding that we get to call home.
Mm.
And I like to share that.
Yeah.
Because having to sell something every single day. So, definitely.
So it's nice to have that permission to kind of keep doing all that stuff. Yeah, I sometimes get a bit confused. Like, some content, I'm like, oh, is that top or middle? Then other content, I'm like, is that middle or bottom? But could put sort of slash. Yeah, and I guess it's making sure, for me, it's making sure I've got enough of that content that's definitely top. Like, I think I've got a lot of middle to top content or middle slash top, but I really need some more top content. So on my list to do is do some brainstorming or some stuff.
Yeah.
Because I do the fashion stuff, but I don't know what else to kind of do.
That's just made me think a really good way of doing it is getting a big whiteboard and putting like top funnel, middle funnel, bottom funnel, and then writing all the ideas that can go within it and then seeing what gravitates that week.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And then you can just sort of turn to it and go, right.
Because there's lots of ideas there ready to roll.
Yeah.
You can take something from that.
And then once you've got that, when you're looking through Instagram, you can get ideas from what others are doing and go look at theirs and go, oh, is that a top, middle, bottom?
Yeah, true. Mm.
Look at us go. We're having a marketing meeting.
Know,
actually, this is what we need to have been talking to Bex about, it that we all need to get together.
100%.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
There's so many businesses in our region. We're just like, it's crazy. Mm. I think there's something about, but like you said before, rural women in business. Like, yeah, it's so cool how many there are locally.
Kurau's such a hub for it.
Isn't it crazy? Like, yeah. It blows my mind.
There's lots something here in Twizel, but it's more, there's lots of women working and stuff, but a lot of it's tourism.
Yeah.
But you guys,
a real diverse business pool here, which is cool.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's amazing. Cool. Well, you're having a fabulous time in Auckland, Jess, and thank you so much for your time. So great to get to know you better and have a good catch up. Yeah. And we will have a face-to-face catch up sometime soon.
Yeah, it might be a margarita in hand.
Perfect.
Nice to chat. Thanks for
you
having
too.
Me.
You too. Thanks so much, Jess.
See ya.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Dedicate podcast, and thank you so much to Jess for her time today. If you enjoy our podcast, please leave a rating or review. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll also love these other episodes from Rural Women in Fashion: Charlotte Bell from The Clip Woolen Coats, IVF Living Rurally and Business, Emily Riggs from Iris and Wool, Triumph Over Tragedy, Kate McDonald from DeVar & Co, Making Woolen Jumpers Cool, and Bex Heyman from Whistle & Pop, Singing Career, Farm Life and Motherhood Amongst Tragedy and Business. Dedicate is the online fitness community for rural and regional women, mums, and those that don't have time or access to the gym. Everybody is welcome. Short, effective workouts you can do anytime and anywhere. Get started with your 7-day free trial at kateivyfitness.com. See you there.